Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Working our way through a beautiful Friday afternoon in the middle of Tennessee. The sun is shining on Buck Rising. I can see rays of sunlight around him as I look for his kittens, but I don't see them today. Buck, what's the latest? Noted cat fancier Buck Rising joins us from A to Z Sports. What's the latest on the cats? How's your livestock crew?
Well, my livestock. Yeah, Reed, can I interest you in a couple of cats? I've got you look like a cat person. I feel like they would fit well in your home with Arby.
No. You look like a cat person. Because you keep posting photos of you and cats. That's the only reason why.
I mean, it's just me and the cats. So, yeah, the cats are chilling downstairs. They're laying in the sun. I am not bathed in sunlight. These are actually scent lights to make me look better. So if it's working, goal achieved. But I am not as radiant as I would appear. I am indeed performance enhanced. The cats, however, are drugged basically off cat food and laying in the sun as cats are wont to do. While the rest of us have to work for a living, and they're just living rent-free in my home.
We can start to look around at a guy who has been living rent-free in your head for years now is Philip Rivers. As he steps away from the NFL as part of all this crazy stuff in the AFC South, but how are you recovering from the loss of Philip Rivers, who's such a big part of your GIF or JIF game, depending on your pronunciation of the term?
No, we say it the way the creator says it. We say it, Jeff. But yeah, my career is probably over. Without Philip Rivers, I am decidedly less funny on Twitter. Like I'm more of a sports reporter spoof than I am sports reporter. And Philip gives me a great many tools at my disposal because he has such an incredibly emotive face. I will miss him very much. I was very sad. It was like we had like a little bit of a candlelight ceremony as I deleted all of my Philip Rivers faces that are saved in my phone screen. I still haven't changed my phone background, which is indeed a cartoon figure of Philip Rivers throwing a lightning bolt. I'm not sure when that'll take place, but right now we're grieving, Blaine. We're grieving.
Buck Rising, A to Z Sports, joins Blaine and me, A to Z Sports Prime Time each night, the 615 sessions, A to Z Sports Nashville.com.
Well, let's talk about something, I guess, in Buck's world is big news. Dean Pease to the Falcons? Why not Dean Pease to the Titans?
So this is something that everybody's pissed off about, right? Like, if you're a Titans fan,
they're in their feelings about this, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure the phone lines are lit. I would say that there. So here's the thing, right? The optics are terrible. The optics are so bad for the Titans, given that this dude is literally, he's literally sitting in your stands. He's sitting at the 50-yard line in the lower bowl of Nissan Stadium watching the Titans play the Bears in his first game as a fan. I remember our boys on the midday getting that out of him when he would do their weekly segment with them. But I think that Dean Pease very clearly has a type, Blaine. He very clearly has a type of the young, hot, up-and-coming coach, mid-40s, somewhat graying. The name in everybody's mouth 2 years ago, it was Mike Vrabel. This year, it was Arthur Smith. Ultimately, like, the thing that people have to realize is that I really do take Dean at his word when he retired the second time after retiring from the Baltimore Ravens, that he felt satisfied with where he was. And then, as all football zealots do, because you guys know this is like a cult, they get antsy. They're away from the game too long. They go to a game, and Dean sees some things that he could do better and sees the terrible Bears team. It's like, yeah, if I ended up in the NFC, we could probably school them. And he really, really respects Arthur Smith. So, like, the optics are wretched. But I really do think that regardless of how much they tried or did not try to court him this year to bring him back out of retirement for a second time, which he did, I think Dean Pease's time with the Titans was done. And I honestly, like, it's like the thing with Logan Ryan and Jarrell Casey. Like, you have to move on eventually. It just, you know, it kind of feels like a smack in the face when both of your best coordinators ship off to the same place. And they're like, yeah, let's team up and maybe we'll see you in the Super Bowl, Mikey.
You have this segment where you do the fair or foul. Where does this lie with Pease going to the Falcons?
Well, it's fair. I mean, what do you want him to do? Like, I don't.
Their defense was horrible, Buck. This is kicked over the barrel foul.
Yeah, but Blaine, if the defense was horrible, like they were going to be a different defense this year, regardless. They lost a bunch of key crucial players. They did not have an offseason that would make it conducive to the growth of the guys who were supposed to replace them. The defensive front was a complete and total word that I can't say on the radio, but I almost did, and I'm proud of myself for catching myself then. But they sucked out loud. They stunk. They sucked. There was just hugely underwhelming performances because John Robinson went out and tried to buy a pass rush, and the failing the results that failed in the aftermath have been very, very well documented by you, me, Reed, Mickey, everybody listen to this at home. We all know how it went down. But Dean, in the middle of all of this, said, yeah, probably don't want to give it a go again. And next year, maybe it's better. This seems like a good situation. It's just down the road. I don't have to go that far. And I can get my jollies off and coordinate a defense. And maybe if you could fix the Falcons, my God, like you're some kind of football Jesus.
Oh, my. Well, staying on that same line with the Falcons, now that Arthur Smith is there, without the King, what kind of offense do you think he's going to run? Do you think he'll run the same kind of offense there, or will he be different with all those talented receivers?
Yeah, no, I think there's no question they're going to have like base concepts, but I know he was quoted. I didn't go to his Zoom availability with the after being announced as the Falcons head coach, but essentially what he said about Derrick Henry is Derrick Henry's like Shaq. You're gonna feed the big fella the ball. Like if that's who you have on your team, that's who you're gonna base your fundamentals around. It's going to look similar, I'm sure, because you know, largely, Blaine, you know this, people are running a lot of the same plays. It's just your play calling tendencies. And who do you feature on a certain play as opposed to another player whom you would have coached on another team? The concepts are going to be very, very similar based off the outside zone run, play action passing. That's all going to be there. Matt Ryan has had great success under Kyle Shanahan with those same principles. But to think that it's going to be, you know, I mean, you're not going to have a 2,000-yard rusher on the Atlanta Falcons. It's just, it's going to be very, very pass heavy. It's going to shape up that way.
Mm. We're on with Buck Rising from A to Z Sports. I guess the biggest thing so far this offseason for the Titans is they haven't said that they fired a DC, but they're looking for a DC. How should we be viewing this whole deal? We know they need an OC. Well, we keep, and even you and me keep saying DC, but the DC's still there.
I would say to you, Blaine, that they are doing a remarkably good job keeping this close to the vest. And now more than ever, it is very, very easy to do that because you're not talking to anybody. You're not hobnobbing at things like the Super Bowl and the Combine or the Senior Bowl amongst groups of your peers as coaches. So it's much easier to keep those things to just a phone call because you're not around people who could potentially pick up on that information. That's not going to get out there unless you want it out there. With regards to the offensive coordinator, the one name that we've seen they've interviewed is Tony Elliott, the offensive coordinator at Clemson. I think largely they're doing due diligence on guys in their own building. Like, I think that's their preference. And if they're keeping it, if they're starting internally, which that's been the strategy so far, you're going to look at guys like Todd Downing. You're going to look at guys like Shane Bowen and say, okay, I'll interview Terrell Austin, but do I think, as if I'm Mike Vrabel, do I think that Terrell Austin can run my defense better than Shane Bowen? Because that's what the next guy's coming here to do. He's just going to run Mike's defense. It's, can you do it better than the other guy? Do I have confidence in you doing it better than the other guy? Or did the personnel just largely suck? Like, that's a big part of this. You're not going to win. They went an 11-5 with Wyatt Ray and Tuzar Skipper at outside linebacker. Who the hell are Wyatt Ray and Tuzar Skipper? Like, honestly, what are we talking about here? I don't completely absolve them on the defensive side of the ball, But because, you know, largely the conversation about the defense was it was too complicated. And that was given voice by every time Kevin Byard would get in front of a Zoom press conference, communication. We're not communicating well enough. We're not carrying practice over to the field. Communication. That's coaching. That's their fault. But when those two things combine, you can't get by just purely off talent if the talent isn't there and you're rushing twos our skipper and White. Right. It's not going to happen.
Oh, so that's news to me. There, when they were saying communication, you were saying that it was too complex and that everybody could say on the same. Oh, see, oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, well, that's why they kept saying, okay.
That's what I was
And that means then the coach needs to be fired. I'm real talk. Because if you make it so difficult that the players can't perform at a high level, you just made a 4-4 guy run a 4-6 just because there's too much information.
Blaine, you saw it with Kevin Byard. There's no better example of that than Kevin Byard.
That's unacceptable.
Because that's what the players were saying publicly, and then you hear behind the scenes that there's too many alerts. There's too many checks. It's almost so boiled down as to be overly complicated and make it difficult to communicate. That's what I was told about the defense and the issues that they were having throughout the course of the season, and it didn't get better, which is 100% on the coaches. I do not take anything. I'm not absolving them from what they did. But what Mike Vrabel values on both sides of the ball more than anything is continuity. If he doesn't think he can find somebody better than Shane Bowen to run his defense, the internal candidate, it's going to be Shane Bowen to run the defense because he knows what Mike wants to do.
We're on with Buck Rising with A to Z Sports. Unacceptable.
Blaine's so pissed at that.
Boy, the hitman.
That's one of my pet peeves, you know, and to me that's communication. And when I say that, and I'm not talking about the players, I'm talking about the coaches should have the relationship, say, hey, man, when you come out of the meeting, what do you think? Do you think this is too much information for your players, for all the guys? And if guy says like me goes, hey, man, only about two or three of us are going to get this. Everybody else is going to be out. Then he needs to dial it back.
And that's kind of the biggest sticking point, right? That guy was Dean Pease, and then he left. He's the guy who they had the relationships with. He's the guy who was their, you know, the person that they looked to, at least for the last 2 years. But ultimately, when you come down in the season and the pandemic, again, it does not absolve anybody, but I think it has a large degree to do with what we're talking about here. You change the reins to a guy who's never called plays before, and now you're telling him, okay, you're responsible for doing, if not as good as Dean, better. See what you can do. Turns out it's historically bad. He's the worst of the worst. They're the worst of the worst on third down. They're tied for the least amount of sacks for a playoff team in the history of professional football. There are blames to go around on all sides. But ultimately, I'm looking at this situation, and for the same reason that I don't think it was right for Dean to come back and coach through a pandemic, I think that there are some things that you have to take into consideration that you're asking Bowen to do an awful lot over a Zoom call.
Mm. Well, Buck Rising with A to Z Sports. Good stuff.
Well, and the other thing is, are you looking down the hallway to fill your offensive coordinator position? As you said, the one name that's come out is Tony Elliott. So, okay, so people start looking at the list, and they go, well, Todd Downing was an OC 1 year for the Raiders. And then you say, okay, Pat O'Hara was literally in the Arena Football League. He did everything but own the team and mix the Gatorade. But you don't have other guys with any play-calling experience. I don't think of any of them at any level. So that's an interesting storyline that Titans fans kind of are sit around holding their breath because, you know, Arthur Smith, he's gone. He's hiring Dean Pease and talking to Matt Ryan, who's going to be the next guy to pull the trigger for the Titans offense.
Well, the good news for the people listening at home who are just incredibly upset about an 11-5 team, which I understand, but good God. I love that they're in that spot. I'm very happy for them because that was not the case when I got here a couple years ago. But anyway, the leading internal candidate is Todd Downing. There, the internet seems to love Keith Carter, which is it's easy to draw that connection because his position group performed the best and most consistently despite how many different parts changed. I understand that. I also understand that offensive line coaches are very integrally, that's not the right word. I'm going to botch it, so I'm going to avoid it, are very much tied into the offensive scheme. They know the blocking. They know the blocking. They know the passing game. They know the protections and the center and the quarterback communication. They understand all the calls. That's a big part of their job. But it's Todd Downing for experience. It's Todd Downing for those same reasons, because for the same reason that guys like Mike Mularkey or guys like Arthur Smith, who come up the coaching ranks, end up as a tight end coach, then go to offensive coordinator, play caller, or head coach. We've seen that transition made from that particular position group coach many, many times.
Oh, Campbell, former tight end. There we go.
Well, Dan Campbell is just going to bludgeon you to death with his fists. I mean, what the hell is that? I sat there. How many times are you going to bite my kneecaps, Dan? How many times? How many times are you going to get knocked out? Like, it's just, it was so delightfully meathead that I am now actively rooting for the Titans and Lions to square off at some point so we can just decide it by trial by combat between Dan Campbell and Mike Vrabel. Jesus. Anyway, tight end coaches are very much tied in to the offense. They have a guy on the staff who has play calling experience. The thing that they're going to emphasize more than anything on both sides of the ball, the same thing we talked about, continuity, continuity, continuity. Downing knows the players. He knows the scheme. He knows Mike. And listen, Mike is not an easy person to work for. Like, he's a very, very demanding person as a head coach. Just in general, like, you guys get that. I'm sure you get that vibe. Just seeing the way that he conducts himself. He can ask a lot of guys, but if you're willing to do all that and you like what you've seen on the inside, then I mean, Todd Downing's the lead candidate internally.
I'm with Buck Rising, A to Z Sports. He's preaching today.
Well, Buck, I guess for me, you know, Vrabel has done a lot of different things, but what is the biggest coaching hire so far this offseason since Vrabel doesn't have one? What do you think is the best hire so far that had the most success outside of Arthur Smith?
You know, that's a good question, because there's a lot of stuff that went unconventionally. I think maybe best is not the way that I'm going to answer that question. It's not the duck what you asked me, Blaine, but I just think there's so many different angles of that. Like, I think the one I'm most interested to see how it plays out is Nick Sirianni, who is the quarterback's coach in Indianapolis, kind of unexpected. I mean, he's been kind of, based on who you talk to, been kind of on that trajectory of NFL head coach at some point. But for him to get the Philadelphia Eagles job, which is not a good job, it's decidedly a bad job. If the Houston Texans weren't literally like the trash in my alley on fire behind my house as a franchise, the Philadelphia Eagles would be the worst gig. But I'm fascinated to see if he is capable of fixing, you know, what was one of the most talented quarterback prospects that any of us has seen and was an MVP candidate for a hot second before he tore his ACL. I'm really curious to see if that pans out.
Well, offseason re-signings by the Titans. What are the priorities in your mind?
Man, is it a cop-out enough if I say, like, I'm not really all that concerned with the re-signings?
Oh,
like,
really?
I think the salary cap is about to take a $20 million haircut. And if I'm looking at who's most financially feasible, Jonnu Smith makes a lot of sense because he's just so up and down as a player that you could probably get him for relatively less expense than the other guys, Jayon Brown, Corey Davis. Desmond King is kind of a redundancy now, and I think showed himself a little bit the more and more that he played with the Titans and why he was kind of riding the bench in Los Angeles / San Diego. Corey Davis is going to be too expensive, and you can rebuild that position through the draft based on where you're picking. You've got a lot of promising wide receiver prospects. I mean, I'm just kind of looking at all the free agents and the bloodbath of a salary cap casualty it's about to be this offseason. I'm just kind of like, I think you try and build cheap this year more than anything and see if you can't just kind of turn it over in a way that was decidedly more productive than what you got out of last year's draft class.
Well, they're saying that the cap is going to be around 180. I don't know if that's a cut there, and with 17 games. So that's the rumors out there when we talk to all the cap guys, Joel Corey and everybody else. So I don't know if that's true or not. Nobody has said that. It's not confirmed.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not confirmed. But I mean, we like you, NHL's out here losing literally billions of dollars. Like right. the NFL, mm-hmm. for as mighty as it is and as revenue generating as it is, you're going to see, it's not a big ding, but to the finances of the league, that's directly coming as a product of them not being able to get people in the stands.
How do you view I'm not going to say the Rooney rule, but with Eric Bieniemy and his success so far, and then people say, oh, well, he's not calling plays. And then we see a quarterback's coach get a job and he got to call his plays. But he also has this laundry list of arrest record as well. So where do you fall on Eric Bieniemy not actually getting an opportunity? At least as of yet, there's only one job open. How do you view it?
Yeah, and it's the worst job. It's the Texans. You're trying to legislate owners and okay, tell
nobody gonna tell me hire. If I'm a billionaire what to do. If I was a billionaire, right. No way, no how.
Like these people, there is good intent behind the Rooney Rule, but the difference that it's made is inconsequential. You don't see any substantial trends from one year to the next in minority hirings. And listen, the way that the NFL structures how these head coaching candidates get interviewed stinks. I mean, Titans fans are all hot and bothered because Art Smith went and interviewed for the Jags job literally the night they lost in the postseason. Like, that's Arthur's fault. No, he's got a shot at one of 32 NFL head coaching gigs. He's going to take the interview when he can take the interview, and that season is over as soon as that game ends. That's on the NFL for setting coaches up in that position to where they have the opportunity to be lambasted by the fan base of whichever team that they're leaving, because God forbid they lose. And listen, Art did not have a good game against the Ravens. Stunk against the Ravens. Largely, though, Eric Bieniemy is in a difficult position for a variety of reasons. And the Rooney Rule, I just don't see it making a difference.
Buck, have a great weekend. We'll leave you one last final couple days to grieve with Philip Rivers gifts and Andrew Luck gifts, which left you behind a few years ago. And we're hoping that the next quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts can bring you some kind of joy as we all await finding out who that gentleman will be.
Yeah, no, Rivers is going to mother freak an opposing high school head coach in a way that's good. He's going to get me a face. It's going to go viral. I'm not gone, but not forgotten, baby. I'm with you, Phil. Let's ride.
Much like yourself, gone, but not forgotten. Back to wrap up our show after this. Blade and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone.